You are capable of so much more than this. We know you can do better. These are comments that gifted learners hear often when they are underachieving. On today's episode, we're going to talk about understanding underachievement, what can cause it, how we can address it, and how we can support gifted learners in the best way possible. Let's do this. Hey there, and welcome to A Meaningful Mess podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thanks for listening. I'm your host, Andy McNair. I love sharing about and advocating for gifted education, talking about passion-based learning, aka Genius Hour, and just sharing practical ways to make learning meaningful for today's learners. If this is your first time to listen, please check out the trailer episode to learn more. But for now, let's dive into today's episode. Here we go. Welcome to episode 64 of A Meaningful Mess podcast. On today's episode, I want to talk about something that can be a little bit frustrating, okay, a lot frustrating, for those of us that are educators of or parents of gifted learners. On today's episode, we're going to talk about understanding underachievement. I chose that title carefully, and I chose those words on purpose because I think that that's exactly what we have to do in order to help gifted learners that are experiencing underachievement. We have to understand it. Because if we don't understand what's causing it, it's going to be really difficult to address. And so while, like I said, this can be really frustrating, it's important that we take the time to be patient and to listen and to actually understand where our learners are coming from when this becomes their reality. And so throughout today's episode, I'm going to share four causes of underachievement. And look, if I shared all of the causes of underachievement, we would be here all day. There are so many different things that can make this happen, specifically for gifted learners. But I think the four that I'm going to mention today, and I'm going to talk about the cause, and then I'm going to talk about a way that it can be addressed. But I think about these ways that I'm going to share today, and these are the things that I saw most often in my own classroom, and they're also the things that I saw most often with my own learners at home. And so, again, as we talk through these, gosh, this may or may not be why your learner or your learners are underachieving, but my hope is that in this episode to just bring awareness to the fact of how important it is that we understand underachievement and that we are very honest about what's causing it so that we can then address it. Okay, before we get started, before we talk about the causes, I want us to all be on the same page of understanding what underachievement is. So NAGC, the National Association for Gifted Children, explains that underachievement is the unanticipated difference between accomplishment and ability. In other words, it's when our learners begin to do less than they are capable of. They're not achieving what they should be able to achieve. And man, that word frustration comes to mind because I have talked to so many parents who are just, I don't know what to do. Why are they not doing what I know they can do? And again, there's not always an easy answer for this. So often, I was recently just talking with a parent, and I so badly wanted to give an answer or a solid, this is what you need to do. But the reality is that there was nothing to do until we took the time to understand what is causing that underachievement so that it could be addressed from a place of understanding and from a place of awareness. I just think that's really, really important. So let's get started. Let's start off with the first cause of underachievement. And I think this happens often with gifted learners when they are trying to fit in with a particular peer group. So sometimes as kids start to get older, gifted learners will begin to realize that they are different, that they think differently. Maybe they have a different perspective, whatever that looks like. But as they begin to realize that, it can become more and more difficult to fit in with the groups that either they once fit in with or the group that they want to fit in with. And so as they get older and they get up into upper elementary and middle school, I think about girls in particular. We oftentimes see underachievement become their reality as they become adolescents. And don't hear me saying this doesn't happen for boys as well, because it 100% does. But a lot of my experience has been with this happening with girls as they get into fifth, sixth, seventh grade. And what happens is they make the decision that they want to fit in with the specific group. And if that group doesn't value the same things they value or think the same way that they think, they will almost kind of morph themselves into someone else that can fit into that group. And unfortunately, you know, for those of us that are adults, when we see this happening, to be honest, I think this is the saddest and the hardest type of underachievement to watch as adults, because we can see the big picture, right? We know that, like, those aren't your people. Like, if they can't accept you for who you are, you definitely don't want to be a part of that group. But you have to remember, think the way that you thought when you were that age. When you were that age, all you could see was trying to fit into that group or trying to be a part of that specific, whatever it is that they're trying to be a part of, they'll do whatever it takes to make that happen. And so you might be thinking as you're listening to me talk about this, like, well, my gosh, how do we ever overcome that? Like, how do we ever help them understand that that should not be their goal? And I don't want to suggest that it's easy, because while I think this is one of the saddest reasons for underachievement, I also think it's one of the most difficult to kind of deal with and help our learners overcome. So I do think there are some things that we can do, however, and one of those things is to give gifted learners an opportunity to spend time with other gifted learners. This is key, and it should not be optional. Gifted learners need to hear from the perspective of other gifted learners. I just experienced this recently. I was at a school district, and I was working with their gifted learners, and it was a fairly small school. So I had all of them in one room at one time. And one of the high school girls raised her hand. She was sitting at the back of the room, and she raised her hand and she said, let me kind of rewind for a second. We had kind of gone through, and I had asked them questions like, what do you enjoy about being gifted? Or what do you enjoy about the gifted program here in your district? What bothers you about being gifted, or what can be really frustrating? And we just had some really insightful conversation, and they were sharing so much and opening up. And so she raised her hand and she said, you know, this has been really good for me, because I kind of felt like I was the only person who thought this way or who felt these things. And today has just really helped me see that so many of the things that I feel and experience are a result of my giftedness. And I just had this huge aha moment of, she is having this light bulb moment because she is getting to spend time and hear from other gifted learners. And this was a high school student who was just now having this epiphany. And so, first of all, kudos to that district for making time for these kids to be together. But I just think sometimes we assume that our gifted learners are fine, right? We don't have to worry about them. They're good. That is not always the case. In fact, I would even say it's very rarely the case. And giving them time to either go on field trips together, or it doesn't even have to be that fancy. It can just be an opportunity to once a week, once every other week, sit in a room and have conversation about giftedness, what it means, what it doesn't mean, what they're experiencing. Because I think what that does is it helps them kind of see their giftedness from a more balanced approach. They don't feel like they're all alone, and they can see who the other learners are in their grade, on their campus, in their district, who kind of think in a similar way that they do. And that doesn't mean that they have to go be best friends. But what it does help them see is that they are not the only one who thinks that way. And it's also not weird to think that way. So, number one, trying to fit in with a particular peer group can be a really, I think can be a big driver for underachievement. And I think one way that we can at least address that, if not overcome it, is to give gifted learners opportunities to spend time with other gifted learners. All right, moving on. Number two, the second reason that I think gifted learners sometimes experience underachievement is perfectionism. I know you may be thinking right now, like, wait a second, those are two totally opposite things. If we're, you know, we've got underachievement, that's not doing what you need to do, and perfectionism is usually trying to do what you need to do. But here's what happens. Perfectionism can be exhausting, right? If I feel like I'm expected to be perfect, whether that is, you know, from myself or from whatever that is, if perfectionism is something that I deal with, once I realize that that can't be my reality or I'll never be perfect, I may underachieve just because I think if I can't be perfect, then I just won't be anything at all, right? If I can't do this perfectly, then I'm just not even going to try. I think we see this a lot in the classroom and maybe don't pick up on it. I know that I did. I think about some of my gifted learners who, if we were, you know, there would be a learning experience and it was either something that they struggled with or that they couldn't do perfectly. And so sometimes they would become a behavior problem, or they would just completely opt out and be apathetic. But that's just because they were disengaging because their perspective was, if I can't do this perfectly, then I'm not going to do it at all. And so how do we help them overcome that? You know, I just talked about this on episode 59, and I did an episode about encouraging and embracing productive struggle. And I can't talk about this enough. Productive struggle is so important for gifted learners to experience. And it's important that we understand the difference between frustration and productive struggle, because there is a difference. But if we never give them that opportunity to struggle, we are missing an opportunity for them to realize that they will never be perfect. They were never meant to be perfect, but sometimes that becomes their perception. And if we don't pay attention, I think we can miss that. And that can begin to kind of build up and build up and build up. And then once they realize they can't be perfect, they can get to a really difficult place. So how do you do that? How do you make productive struggle a priority? I think there are so many ways that we can make this happen. Again, if you want to go listen to episode 59, I shared some very specific things that we can do as educators and even as parents. I think one specific thing that is key is just modeling productive struggle for them to recognize that even as educators and as parents, we are not perfect and never will be. And so letting them see us experience productive struggle and letting them see us deal with that in an appropriate way is really important and can have a big impact. So thinking about perfectionism, productive struggle, and let me say one more thing before I move on. I think designing experiences with productive struggle in mind is important. In other words, I'm going to be intentional as an educator about making sure that when I design learning experiences, I'm going to think about my gifted learners, and I'm going to make sure that what I've designed is going to challenge them or give them an opportunity to experience a little bit of productive struggle so that they can do that while they have a support system. I think that's really important. So perfectionism, one way that we can kind of address that is through making productive struggle a priority. I think that can be super helpful. Okay, the third cause is expectations. This is a hard conversation to have because I know that most of us are like, well, isn't it a good thing for us to have high expectations of our learners? 100%. But there is a difference between high expectations and unrealistic expectations. And the reality is, because so many people do not understand what giftedness is, these learners are oftentimes operating under unrealistic expectations. For example, expecting a kid to always make straight A's and to never get a B their entire school career is probably unrealistic. But I've seen it happen so often. I've talked to learners who have said, if I make a B, my parents are going to be so disappointed, or my teachers are going to be disappointed. So I think these unrealistic expectations can come from several places. Sometimes they come from us as parents. Sometimes they come from us as educators. And then sometimes the learners will put unrealistic expectations on themselves. And so how do we deal with that? How do we get them to see or to really understand the difference between high expectations and unrealistic expectations? And honestly, I think this is just where we have to help everyone understand, including the learners themselves, what giftedness is and what giftedness is not. I have unfortunately heard throughout my career many times, you know, well, that learner can't be gifted because they're failing my class, or that I don't think that learner is gifted because they don't always turn in their homework. You know, we laugh about that and we're like, surely people do. I'm telling you, I have heard it said. And so it is so important that we help people understand that giftedness does not mean good grades and compliance. Giftedness is more associated with a different way of thinking. And as we think about, gosh, think about our learners who are twice exceptional, who really struggle in one area and who are gifted in another, those unrealistic expectations can be really confusing for them. And so it's just really important that we do things like parent informational meetings. I know that's one thing I've had an opportunity to do recently, is to talk to several parent groups. I just come in as kind of a special guest and I just am really honest with them about, hey, here's what your gifted learner needs from you. And one of the things that we always talk about is what is the difference between high expectations and unrealistic expectations. And the, you know, I just did this recently and I had several parents stay after and they were like, oh my gosh, like that is where I am as a parent. And I just didn't know what I didn't know. And I understand that so much because as a parent of gifted learners, I was in that same place for a long time. I just didn't really understand what it meant for my kid to be gifted. They had gotten this label from the school, but I didn't know what that meant. And so I think it is really important that, number one, we are intentional about giving our parents quality information when it comes to giftedness and what that means. It can't just be, congratulations, your kid is in the gifted program, and that's all they know. The other thing is, I think that quality professional learning for our educators is really important, because educators, it's not a secret, they have a lot of things on their plate. Expecting them to go home and look up and explore what giftedness is silly. There's just not time for that. So as a campus or as a district, making time at the beginning of the school year or throughout the school year to really give maybe chunks of information, maybe it is a full day PD that you do, whatever that is, but making sure that everyone is on the same page and understands what giftedness is and what giftedness is not. I think that's one way we can keep unrealistic expectations at bay. All right, the last thing that I want to talk about is sometimes gifted learners underachieve because they are lacking purpose. This is hard to hear, hard to say, but sometimes when they're coming to school, they come to school and they recognize fairly quickly that the school experience was designed. Sometimes it can seem like, I'm not saying this is always the case, but sometimes it can seem like the school experience was designed to fix kids. Like, okay, they come in with an issue or a problem and we fix that problem. Like, they don't read well. Okay, we're going to fix that. Maybe whatever it is. And sometimes gifted learners, I think if they come into a specific class, not that they're going to know everything about every class, but let's say they come into math class and they have a really good understanding of math, everything that's happening in that class, they already understand. That can be really frustrating and hard. Like, why am I even here? There's no reason. There's no purpose. And so gifted learners oftentimes, there's actually this list, I'm going to look it up real quick on my computer, called the greatest gripes of gifted learners. And This is a really popular list for those of us in the gifted community, but I wanted to share one of the gripes with you because I think it ties very closely to what we're talking about. And it is just that, I'm looking at the list now. Sorry, I don't have them memorized. But this idea that we feel overwhelmed by the number of things we can do in life, and we worry a lot about the world problems and feel helpless to do anything about them. So I'll include a list in the show notes for you to access this information, because it's a really great list. And I think definitely something that every parent and educator of gifted learners should have access to. But let me say them one more time. Number seven in the list is we feel overwhelmed by the number of things we can do in life. Number eight is we worry a lot about world problems and feel helpless to do anything about them. I think both of those connect closely to purpose. In other words, I can do all of these things, but I'm not given the opportunity at school to make that happen. Or I'm worried about all of these things happening in the world, and I need an opportunity to make an impact or to create change. This is one of the reasons that I talk so often about Genius Hour or passion-based learning for gifted learners. To be honest, I think that every learner deserves an opportunity to work on a passion project at school. But the reality is, because of these gripes from gifted learners, it's really important that they have an opportunity to work on projects that give them an opportunity to make an impact and that give them an opportunity to use the things that they can do. So I can do all of these things, and then I come to school and sit in a classroom and listen to somebody tell me what I already know. You can imagine how frustrating that must be. So, considering different options, I think one of the things that we can do specifically as educators is to give our learners an opportunity to create purpose statements. So every day at the end of class, giving your learners an opportunity to complete the sentence. I did an episode on this. I didn't write down the number, but you could go find it. It's just about purpose statements. And every day at the end of class, just having your learners write the sentence. Today, I learned blank, so that I can blank. And it's the so that I can part of that sentence that provides purpose. And that is so important because it helps gifted learners see, okay, today I learned this. This is what I'm going to go do about it. And that's not just for gifted learners. Every learner needs purpose. If you haven't read Drive by Daniel Pink or listened to the TED Talk, he talks about intrinsic motivation and how much more valuable intrinsic motivation is than extrinsic motivation. And three things that drive intrinsic motivation, according to Daniel Pink, are mastery, autonomy, and purpose. And so if we have gifted learners who are unmotivated and underachieving, it seems like purpose would be a good thing to consider. And so we can do that through having them create purpose statements like I just shared. We can have them work on their own passion projects. What is it that you care about? And how can that thing that you care about impact or change something that bothers you or something that you're concerned about? I talk about Genius Hour all of the time on this podcast. So if you want to go back and listen to some of those episodes, feel free to do so. If you want to know more about Genius Hour, you can visit my website, andymcnair.com. Click on Genius Hour in the navigation bar. I share a ton of information about that because I believe so much in the impact that it can have on all of our learners, but specifically gifted learners. So oftentimes when they are lacking purpose, gifted learners will underachieve. And I think we can address that through giving them opportunities to find purpose in what they're learning every day. It's just really, really important. Okay, that was a lot of information in a little bit of time. So let's kind of go back through and review what we talked about. So four things that can cause underachievement. Number one, fitting in with a particular peer group. And we talked about how that can be addressed through spending time with other gifted learners. Number two, perfectionism, which can be addressed through giving learners an opportunity to experience and embrace productive struggle. Unrealistic expectations, which can be addressed through giving as much information as possible about what giftedness is and is not to both parents and teachers. And finally, oftentimes gifted learners underachieve because they are lacking purpose. So giving them an opportunity to work on a project or to be intentional about identifying the purpose in a learning experience can be really valuable. So gosh, four causes. But like I said, there are so many different things that can make underachievement a gifted learner's reality. And I think that if I could share any advice with you as a parent or as an educator, it would just be to be patient and to be open and to listen to the things that they're saying and pay attention to what they're experiencing. And I think that can give us a ton of insight into what the cause is so that we can understand it and then do something about it. So underachievement, big conversation. If you have any questions about this or you would like to connect more around this topic, you can always visit andymcnair.com, click contact Andy. I would love to hear from you soon. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to learn with me today. I absolutely love this community and enjoy sharing and learning with you. Check out today's episode notes by swiping up in most podcast apps. If you'd like to learn and connect more, you can follow me over on Twitter at McNairAN3, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Meaningful Mess. You can always find tons of resources, inspiration, and information over on my website, andymcnair.com. Be sure to check out my blog, Genius Hour resources, and so much more. Enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, I hope that today's episode has inspired you to find meaning in your mess.